Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
For this is what the Sovereign Lord says.
Why do you need prophets to tell people who you are and what you want?
If you can justify everything that the God of the Bible has done, then you can justify any of your behavior.
A lot of this mentality is trickling into what is now mainstream right-wing Christianity.
I am capable of empathy greater than this God of the Bible.
This is a Bible that they tell kids. This is the good Lord. This is the good book. He is fantasizing about murder, mass murder.
Head over to sacrilegiousdiscourse.com right now to find out how to leave us a review or support us on Patreon.
Husband!
Wife!
Do you know what we're doing today?
Well, last time we did an episode, we read Matthew chapter 5.
Little Maddie.
Yeah.
No, chapter 6.
No. Or yeah, I'm sorry, chapter 6.
I know. And
I apologize.
You started to argue with me.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, it's the Sermon right, on the right. Motherfucking Mount.
You're right. It was chapter 6.
And we are finishing it up.
Right.
Yeah.
And so in that chapter, we had Jesus telling us how being performative and your religion is a bad thing.
And to don't do it.
Yeah. And also don't hoard your wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, in the whole way through, we're just like, ooh, damn.
And we're
this is rough.
This is what I thought Jesus said. But then in being around Christians, it seemed like maybe I misunderstood all my life and that I was wrong.
But we were told by our live Discord crew at the time that, you know, we just wait because Paul, who is it? Paul? Yeah, mm-hmm. Paul. Paul's going to change things up on
us. So Paul disagrees with Matthew.
I don't know how this all breaks down.
They don't quote Jesus as the same. But so far, Matthew is telling us what Jesus said. And according to Matthew, Jesus is what I thought he was. And it's the Christians
It's in the red ink. I'm sorry.
It's in red ink.
Jesus said it.
Look,
I don't care if it's different in other Bibles. It's still red ink. So Jesus obviously said it.
It'll probably be red ink when we get to Paul, too, is my guess.
No, Paul's words aren't in writing.
It's Paul quoting Jesus. This is not Jesus. This is Matthew quoting Jesus.
Whatever. It's not even Matthew quoting Jesus because somebody else wrote this.
Right, but okay.
Whatever. Doesn't really matter. Anyway, we did the Lord's Prayer also.
Mm-hmm.
So like we did that. We did that. We nailed that one.
We did. So we nailed it because we both knew it.
Yeah.
And I sang it, and it was very serious. And you just knew it from Boy Scouts.
I did.
Even though you're a lifelong atheist.
Right. Yeah.
Amazing.
Exactly.
Amazing.
So that was Matthew chapter 6.
It sure as fuck was.
Which means that today we're going to be reading
Little Maddie chapter 7.
All right. Let's do this.
Okie dokie. All right. We are going to hop into Matthew chapter 7. But before we do that, I have a question for you, sir.
You got to talk about balls, apparently.
Yes. Okay. I have to talk about balls.
I don't.
Okay. Well,
It was between the intro and the now. So
yes.
I don't know. And wife said, I have to talk about this on the air.
And then I was like, wait. I'm not going to ask you this question yet. I'll save it. And you were like, why are you doing this to me?
I was exactly like that.
Yes. Okay. But listen. I have two questions for you, actually.
Okay.
Okay. First is, would you ever stick a needle into your balls?
No. No. No.
To enlarge them?
No.
Okay. I didn't think you would, and I don't understand people who would.
Yeah,
like,
no.
That's just weird and unnecessarily painful.
Not happening.
Okay. So, here's my other question. Do you remember, it was maybe a couple months ago, I told you, and I don't think I said this on the podcast, and God, I wish I had, but I had watched, I think it was like an ASAP science video on YouTube. It was a little science video, and one of the fun things that, like, they talk about weird, like, sometimes they talk about cool science, and sometimes they talk about weird science, and sometimes they just talk about funny, goofy science.
Mm.
And one of the funny, goofy science things they talked about was that ball size matters.
Okay.
Because apparently, like, in apes and other monkey culture things,
yeah.
like the size of your balls indicates like your virility or what the fuck ever.
Okay.
Like the bigger your balls, the more likely you are to get a hot monkey chick to fuck you.
Got it.
And that's great for monkeys and apes. And I recognize that apes are not monkeys and monkeys aren't apes or what the fuck ever, whatever.
This is totally a science
person. I am not a science person. Yeah. I love science. I just don't know science. I respect it. I just don't live with it.
Okay, back to the balls.
I don't know why
we're talking about this right before Jesus, but okay.
Because listen.
You just really had to talk about
this. No, because this happened to me today. Because I stumbled across this today. Okay, so I filed that away, and I told you about it, and it just kept being in the back of my mind, because it's just so funny. Like, the bigger your balls, right? And, like, then there's, you know, my balls are always bouncing, like the AC/DC song, you know?
I do.
Who's got the biggest balls of them all, right?
Okay.
That song?
You're all over the fucking place with this.
No, I'm talking about balls.
You were talking about monkeys a second ago.
No, I'm talking about their balls.
Okay. And then AC/DC.
Balls.
Whatever.
It's the thread through this.
Continue, please.
Okay. So, lately, like within the past year, there's been this thing called looks maxing. And it's where guys are like trying to be so pretty. Like a couple years ago, we would have called it like metrosexuals, like dudes that are like they're getting into the like plucking their eyebrows and like hairstyling for hours. Like they're trying to be as pretty as girls are. Like they're just getting into their looks a lot.
Okay.
And so a lot of these guys, like they will. Oh, it's probably like the same type of people that think that if you sunbathe your taint that it helps you like cure cancer or what the fuck ever. Like, so weird, right? Like, guys are so weird, and these guys in particular, like, there's got to be like a Venn diagram where it's a fucking circle of those guys and incels.
Just for the record, anybody who tuned in to hear us discussing religion and not balls, I apologize profusely.
No, I'm just so excited because, okay, the looks maxing for guys has like hit an all-time peak where now dudes are so worried about the size of their balls that they are injecting them with saline to make them larger.
Oh my God.
The end.
I don't know why you had to talk about this in the podcast, but
okay. Because it's fun. It's just good fun.
Sure.
And okay, so today we're starting out talking about Jesus not judging each other. Okay. And that would include the size of somebody's balls.
Got it.
So don't judge each other's ball size, you guys.
Sure, yeah.
I know that we were all walking around wondering, how big are your balls?
Nope.
No.
I don't give a shit.
No. I know. Most of us don't.
Right.
Like gay, straight, ace, other. I don't think any of us really fully care about the size of other people's balls. But for some insecure folk, they're really worried about it. But Jesus says don't judge somebody else's ball sacks.
Okay.
Okay? That's where I was going.
That's okay.
Okay.
So I don't think that's true. I think you just really wanted to talk about balls.
I really wanted to talk about how insecure men are injecting their testicles with saline to make them bigger and how weird I think that is.
And if you do so that, no judgment.
Goofy. I mean, a little judgment from me. A little judgment from me because I don't think people should worry about how big their titties are either. Like,
but it could help their self-confidence. It could be, there's a multitude of reasons why people might do it. And it's not all around vainness and it's not all around, you know, just. I'm just saying you have to be able to put yourself in other people's shoes. You have to be able to say there's not a single reason for this thing. There's a multitude of reasons. And you have to be able to take case by case examples and take them that way.
I hear you, but I'm going to reserve judgment because it seems like it's the same group of guys.
I'm sure you're mostly right, but I hate talking in generalities.
You do.
Yeah.
Because you're better than me. You're a better person than
I am.
You are. No, I'm fully saying you are a way better person. Jesus would probably like you better than me if we're being honest.
I'm quite certain. Well, I don't know.
I mean, I think that I'm
much
nicer.
More of an atheist.
I'm nicer than you are. I care more, but I think you're a better, more decent person. Mm. And I don't know how that all works out in the wash, but I mean, we're probably both going to hell. So.
I don't believe in hell.
No, so, I don't either. It's, I'm just saying.
Yeah, neither here nor there.
All right, let's read this. Ready? Yeah, chapter 7.
I'm so ready.
Little Maddie says that Jesus said in red ink, "Do not judge or you too will be judged."
Mm, see?
He's
see?
Looking at your balls.
He's looking at you right now.
He is looking at
for judging
at me.
Those people. And their balls and their ball treatments. And
but he's also looking at them and their balls. He's looking at me for looking at them and their balls.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He's also looking at them for looking at other
You've
people's
balls.
You've
already failed Jesus.
I have. You know what? I'm not going to stay up at night. I have failed in so many ways.
We are going to stay up tonight because we're going to watch the new, the last
final,
Colbert.
The last
Yeah, which is really
show.
Sad.
Yeah.
It's really sad.
It is very sad.
Fuck Trump.
I might cry. I kind of cried last night. I watched, like, I don't typically watch live events on TV, but we decided last night and tonight we would watch the final Colbert's.
Yeah.
And what's that guy's name? Bruce
Springsteen?
Springsteen, that's the one. The boss. The boss. I was like, Bruce Boxleitner. Yeah. No, that's the wrong Bruce.
No, yeah.
He was Mr. Scarecrow and Mrs. King. He was a different Bruce.
Right.
He's an actor. Okay, so Bruce Springsteen.
Yes.
He sang that Minneapolis song.
He sure did.
And
it was great.
So good, and that made me cry.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway. So don't be judging, or I'll judge you. For in the same way you judge others, you'll be judged. Ooh, he's going to look at my balls. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Well, I don't.
Okay.
I'm not sticking a needle in my balls, so I'm fine.
Sure.
Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye?
I don't know.
I do have...
You, probably because you can't see your own eye.
I do have a plank in my eye.
Do you?
You know who has a plank in their eye? Our cat always has a fucking plank in her fucking eye.
Hmm.
I'm always digging that plank out her eye.
But it does make sense that you would judge other people and not yourself because you can't see yourself.
Well, yeah.
And also, you don't know how you're interpreted by other people because you are yourself.
Oh, that reminds me of a Melanie Martinez song in the music video. It was in one of the music videos. She was talking about, I wish you could see me, or I wish you could see yourself the way I see you. And then, like, she takes her eyeballs out of her head and gives them to the other girl to put in to change her perspective. Like, it was so cool. I mean, that sounds gross.
Right.
But in the music video, it was really cool.
Yeah.
It was in her K-12 era.
Right.
Okay, anyway, get the fucking plank out your eye. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye?
Right.
Mm. You hypocrite! First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye.
Well, and this is one of those things about Christianity that I really dislike, because they're very judgmental, and you know the
I'm like,
teachings
worry about
that.
Your own
and
plank.
Again, this is Jesus saying basically, don't judge other people before looking at yourself. Right?
Glass
and,
houses.
Right. Right. And there's so little introspection done by most Christians that I have encountered, and they are very judgy of other people.
Yeah.
Like they this whole read through of the Sermon on the Mount has been nothing. Like this is the hypocrisy.
Right.
That I feel
this
like
is
viscerally
the,
from Christianity.
This is the what we were told Jesus stood for, that we were like, yeah, I mean, I don't believe in God or anything, but Jesus is cool. That sounds right. And then we grow up and we see the way Christians are and we're like, that's not what I thought Jesus right. was talking.
Yeah. I don't think you're doing this right, guys.
How do I have a better feeling for, I don't think Jesus would like you.
Right. Yeah.
I don't think Jesus would like a lot of his followers. What is that saying? Like, Jesus save, or God save us from your followers?
Right.
Like, that, I love that phrase. Like, that just sends me home, you know?
But this is directly why I feel the hypocrisy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. Mm. Ooh, that's the pearls before swine thing. Don't throw pearls before swine. Is we're reading a different translation. I've never heard that. You've never heard the phrase "Don't throw pearls before swine"?
Nope.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Wow, that's like a very common phrase. I didn't realize came from the Bible, but it's basically like don't throw important or fancy things before people that can't appreciate it. Like take care of your own shit first. You know, right. Kind of thing. Anyway, do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Ask and it will be given to you. We're moving on to a different bit now.
Okay. All right.
Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks and finds. Wait. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened.
I'm assuming they mean to God.
That's what I would assume.
Right.
But I'm gonna push back on this because when I was a kid, it would have been so much easier.
Yeah.
And I would call that a door knocking.
No, and I had a couple of moments where I, you know, truly was like,
okay,
if you're there, you know, dude, I'm ready to hear it.
Like, give me what you got.
Because it really was hard being the not outcast. Religious, you know, yeah. Like I didn't know like what any of this was. And it was, I grew up in a very religious community and scouts and like the whole thing, like, you know, especially in scouts, it would have been so much easier for me to just be able to understand what Jesus and God and all this shit was. But no, like never was I ever presented with anything, even with some genuine asking, you know, like I genuinely wanted to understand, but there was never a moment where I was like, oh, yeah.
Oh, that's what it feels God, like.
God's okay. Touching me here.
Yeah. Yeah. My balls are great. Yeah. No, that never happened to me. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? I mean, if my kid asked for bread, I wouldn't give him a stone. Yeah, I would give him a bread.
Right.
Or if he asked for fish, will you give him a snake? I mean, our kid asked for a snake and they got a snake.
Right. But if they asked for fish, we'd probably get them a fish.
We had fish for a while, but none of us asked for it.
Right.
And we don't have fish anymore. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?
What?
It's saying, think about how when our kid, right? We know what our kid, we don't even have to say, what do you want for Christmas? Like,
right,
or
right,
what do you want for your birthday? Like, we just know kids so well.
We can get them something good.
Like, if there's something specific we would like to know, but without anything specific, we give good gift.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And so this is saying, if you think you're a good gifter, just imagine how good a gift giver God is to his children.
All right. I don't have any reason to think that God is a good gift giver.
I think God is a good killer.
Right. That's and you know, like he kind of like the one time that they asked for food, he
threw birds at him.
I mean, yeah, like I don't know that I trust him for good gift giving.
I don't believe that God is a good gift giver.
No.
I believe that God's a dick.
Yeah, I mean, the core rebellion. He dropped him down into, you know,
dropped him like
the earth and like burn him up and threw snakes at him and shit. And like, yep. I mean, it was really bad. Like, I don't know. I wouldn't go asking God for a whole lot because you might not like what you get.
No, I think I'm a way better gift giver than God, honestly.
Yeah.
And I can always pick the perfect book for people. I love picking books for people.
You do.
Mm-hmm. All right. Gifts, blah, blah, blah. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. Oh, my God. It's the golden rule.
Yeah.
For this sums up the law and the prophets. The law is the capital L law.
Yeah.
Like, this rule sums up everything that we've been talking, everything that was talked about in the Pentateuch.
Okay. Yeah.
And the prophets.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Yeah. Damn. There it is.
But that's one of those teachings that I learned even not being religious that I really thought was great.
Yep.
Right? Like, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you, right? Yep. Which allows you to walk around with, like, you it teaches empathy. It says, does. Hey, put yourself in this other person's
shoes. How would you like it if you were treated that way?
Right.
Like that, how many times would you even say that to a kid, not even knowing that it was like from the Bible, right? How would you like it if somebody treated you like that?
But honestly, I feel like most of the people that I know with really good empathy are less religious or not religious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they are not religious people, generally speaking. Right. That's not to say that that person doesn't exist.
No, I know some Christians who are very empathetic.
Right.
But the most empathetic people that I know in my life are not all Christians.
Well, because
the majority of them aren't.
Empathy in general lends to a curiousness of other cultures and other ways of life and other things, because you are putting yourself in other people's shoes.
You have it backwards. I think that curiosity leads to empathy. We had a whole episode about this. Being curious about other people leads to having empathy for them, because the more you learn, the more you can't help but care about them.
Right. I mean, either way, if you are very empathetic or you are very curious, I think both of those things lead to better interactions with people.
Yep. Right.
And that is not what I see from a lot of the Christian community that we have, at least around us.
So maybe I shouldn't be judging people who want to put saline in their balls.
That's what I was saying.
I'm going to have to chew on this tonight.
You got to put yourself in their balls.
I'm going to have to put their balls in my mind and chew on it and think about it.
Right.
Because it just feels so vain and ridiculous.
No, I'm not saying that sometimes it's not.
I'm thinking of like the gym bros.
I understand. You know what I mean? I understand what you're thinking of, but again, you don't know the reasons why they are doing it specifically for each individual, right?
I would like to hear other people speak out on this and defend. Not that you owe me an explanation, and not that you have to defend yourself to me. I guess what I'm asking is, if you care to convince me why,
let me ask you this:
making your balls bigger,
if it brought someone who had low confidence about themselves more self-confidence, is that a worthwhile reason to do it?
I'm gonna go still with no, because of the medical problems that it also carries with it. There's a lot of health risk with it.
Let's put medical problems aside. Okay, let's put the health risks aside.
Sure, let's pretend that you snap your fingers and your balls are bigger and everybody's happy. Sure, that's fine. I guess if that's what matters to you.
I'm not.
What?
I'm asking you to look at the reasons why somebody would do it, something, not be judgmental. You're still being judgmental.
I just don't understand. Like, I am being judgmental because I have a severe lack of understanding of why the size of anybody's anything matters, why it should matter. Like, to me, if somebody thinks that their dick or their balls or their boobs or their ass or whatever is too big or not big enough, I feel like that comes from societal pressures outside.
Yes, absolutely. And those societal pressures, among those images that people have of themselves, are like, take for example women and their weight issues and things like that, where they get right, these are caused by societal pressures. Correct. So when someone is doing the things to remedy those problems, they're doing them because they have an issue with the societal pressures that are bothering them because of that, right? So it's more of a mental issue than it is a physical issue or a stupidity issue. And that's what I'm saying. Empathy in these cases could be way more relevant to that case than being judgmental about it.
You're right. I should be sticking my middle finger up at society.
Always.
Not the people who feel like they need to change their body to feel better about themselves.
100%.
Well, fuck you, society, making people feel like their balls aren't big enough.
That's better.
Okay. I will go with that.
Okay.
All right. Sorry, Jesus. I learned better. I took the moat right out of my eye and stuck it right in society's ball sack. Enter through the narrow gate.
Okay.
Okay? We're doing a different section now.
Why does it gotta be narrow?
Just listen. That's the next that's the next little lesson.
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it.
So don't take the easy way, which leads to destruction and terribleness and enlarging your balls. Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, I'm having a hard time with this because, like, I'm taking it very literally. And I think that, well, no, like, I have that autistic, like, read what the words say.
Yeah.
Not the symbolic, what we're supposed to get out of it. But here's the thing. I don't know what we're supposed to get out of that. So I have nothing but the literal rendition. What's wrong with the wide gate as opposed to the narrow gate?
Well, he
What's
said the wide with, gate is.
But why does
what the, did he say about the wide gate? It was at least
it leads to destruction, and many enter through it.
Right.
What's wrong with that?
Well, why is that destruction? Bad? Apparently.
But why?
But again, this is not a literal. This is a you should take the harder path that doesn't lead to destruction and find life as opposed to because life in this sense is going to be discovering your relationship with God or whatever.
Small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it.
Right.
Why?
Because it's easier to be judgmental. It's easier to be, it's easier to hoard your wealth. It's easier to dislike people that you don't agree with. It's easier to, it's easier to be a terrible person than it is to be a good person, right?
So big balls, but small gates.
Yes. No. You don't need, no, the big balls have nothing to do with it. Oh. It's just about trying to find your way and be the best person you can be. And in my estimation, like, this is about.
Are you sure that's what it means, though?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
But I am taking it that way.
But that's what I'm asking. Like, how do we know how to take this? Small gates and narrow roads lead to life? Well,
if we take our lead from Christianity, we just make it whatever we want to believe it to be. And then that's that. So,
I mean, don't be a follower.
Sure.
Oh my gosh. That does fit with balls. You guys, don't be a follower. You don't have to inject shit into your balls. Just be an individual and keep your balls whatever size they are. They're fine. Your balls are fine. Okay? Your balls are fine. Okay.
Okay.
Next little lesson here.
Yeah, okay.
Gates and roads and whatever.
Right.
Watch out for false prophets. They be falling out of the trees.
Probably. Okay? Yeah.
They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves.
As long as it's camel clothing, they're okay, though.
Yes, camel clothing is fine.
Yes.
We love us some camo Christians.
Camel.
Oh, I was saying camo, like camouflage.
John the Baptist.
Oh, yeah. Camel.
Yeah.
Camel.
Camel.
I thought you were saying camo.
No.
And so I was imagining, you know, Christians running around in their camo pants with guns. And I was just like, yeah, they suck. Jesus. What?
Again, your judgment is just seeping out of you.
It is. I'm sorry. I mean, not that I don't really have
judgment, but you know, it's
all right.
I think so, your judgment is harder.
Well, to be fair, I have nothing. I don't want to be fair. It's just who I be. Look, they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves, those false prophets.
Yeah.
By their fruit, you will recognize them.
Okay.
Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles?
Probably not.
That reminds me. Guess what I did today?
What did you do?
I mowed the front, but when I put the mower away, I noticed that the mulberry bush in the back, whatever tree that is, whatever that bush is back there that grows them wild berries.
Right.
I picked some because there's a bunch out there now.
There are.
And I have been watching that bush for the last 2 weeks. I saw that there were some berries out there that
weren't ripe.
They weren't ripe. Yeah. Today, they were ripe and I picked them.
Yep.
And you know what I did with them?
You ate them.
No, I brought a handful of them inside and I rinsed them off and then I threw them in a glass of cold water.
Oh.
Oh my gosh. That was joy. That is a spring, summer joy.
Yeah.
Is picking that shit off the tree.
Right.
From our backyard.
You got to get them before the squirrels and the birds do.
That's why I did it.
Right.
And that's probably all I'm going to get all season. There's a bunch of biggins on the ground and I was really mad.
Yeah.
Like, I think they already got to them.
Right.
That really pisses me off.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? The answer is no.
Right.
The answer is no. Okay. Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but every bad tree bears bad fruit. So good is good and bad is bad.
Okay.
A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. That's false.
Right.
And a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. That also is false.
Sure. Yeah.
That both of those are false.
But also don't cut fruit trees down ever.
And also the ones on along the outside of your property, you're supposed to not pick so that
the poor people
can come and glean off of your trees.
Right.
Yeah. That was in the Old Testament. I remember that one. Yeah. And we were impressed that they cared about the unhoused
that
and
didn't last
the hungry
very long.
People.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, and it didn't. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire.
But in the Old Testament, it says not to cut down any
Thus, fruit by trees. Their fruit, you'll recognize them.
But I know he's talking about people, I guess. So
is he?
Whatever. Sort of.
Well, he's saying, fuck bad people, chop them up.
Right.
Damn.
Yeah.
So it sounds like Jesus advocates going no contact with toxic people. That's what I'm getting out of this. Because they are bad fruits.
Right, right.
Could you imagine if you just walked around and you were like, you're a bad fruit? I mean, that sounds like a really...
People call people bad apples.
Not to their face, though. They're like, he's a bad apple. I don't know about that one.
Right.
Or police aren't bad. It's just one bad apple, you know?
But that sounds like it might come directly as a kind of like a biblical reference.
No, it is. It is, I'm sure.
Right.
But I mean, could you imagine walking up to somebody and being like, you know what? You are a bad fruit.
No.
I kind of like that. I might do that the next time somebody in public makes me angry.
Yeah.
I might tell them, I don't think we can hang out, sir. You are a bad fruit. and Jesus said, I need to cut down bad fruits.
Right.
Bad trees.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next lesson. Ready?
I'm ready.
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven.
Mm.
Oh. I thought he said knock and I'll answer.
Well, you got to mean it, though.
Well.
You can't just be like knock and a knock.
I mean, I think if you knock.
If you also have to take the narrow gate and you can't be a bad fruit and you got to be.
So it's more than just knocking.
Well, probably, yeah.
Okay. And you also have to know the Lord's Prayer.
Probably, yeah.
That was the previous chapter.
Yeah, right.
That was the correct. That's how you pray.
That's how you pray.
Yeah. All right, so not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven.
Mm.
You got to do God's will.
Got it. Yeah.
Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Get away from me, you evildoers. Oh, I cannot wait to tell people that. I will be like, you are a bad fruit. I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoer.
Right, right.
I mean, that to me is so fantastic because it's like not even cussing.
Right.
But you could say it with such venom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. And like next time somebody's rude to me. I just love that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. That's the name of a church. Mm.
The Rock?
House on the Rock.
House on the Rock, is it?
Yeah.
Mm.
It's like that whole, I don't know, there's a Peter guy that we're going to learn about, and he does a church that's like, there's a whole church of Christ thing that's house on a rock.
Got it.
Like, they take that line very seriously.
Okay.
The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on that rock.
That little piggy was safe.
Because you know what the rock is? It's Jesus.
Oh, that's right. And that's, yeah. But then that's why Moses got punished, because he beat Jesus.
Jesus on a rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, you know what he's like? He's like a foolish man who built his house on sand.
Oh, why would you build it on sand?
Haven't you been to Florida? When you build on sand, you're inviting the hurricane to knock it down.
Well, not just that. I mean, like, you can't get sand out of your clothes. Like, it's just terrible.
It stays in your crack. What would
make you ever want to build a house on sand? Look, that's terrible.
The last time I was at a beach was 15 years ago, and I still got sand in my crack. It doesn't come out. It's like glitter. I still find glitter between my toes.
Yeah.
And sand in my crack. Mm-hmm. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Mm. And it fell with a great crash. The one that was built on sand. Right, yeah. Yeah. When Jesus had finished saying these things. Oh, we're back to black print now.
Oh, okay.
Black ink.
Okay.
Jesus is done.
This is Matthew.
Yeah,
this is Matthew. That was the Sermon on the Mount.
Mm-hmm. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching.
Were they?
Because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. The end.
Wow. I feel like I missed my calling of when I should have been alive, because, like, they're easy.
Right? You could have been like, if you wash your hands before you eat, you're less likely to carry germs to your mouth.
Yeah.
And when you carry the bad apples to your face with your dirty hands, you are disrespecting God, and Jesus does not like that.
Yeah.
You got to wash the dirt from your hands, and you got to have clean apples.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also regular size balls. Don't worry about what the other people are doing. Your balls are fine.
This is just such simple how to treat other human type shit, mm-hmm. right?
And it's the golden rule.
There's not really anything magical about any of this. It's just like, yeah, don't fuck with people like that. Don't be an asshole.
You know,
don't be a fucking asshole.
We had three chapters of this that could all be summarized by Wheaton's law.
Yeah.
Don't be a dick.
Right.
That's it. And God broke it because God's a dick.
He is.
He's God quite the broke dick. Wheaton's law.
He really did.
And that's why I'm an atheist.
All right. Well, I don't know that I have a lot. I mean, like, again, the teachings in this one were better than what the Old Testament was. There's good stuff. The do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Mm-hmm. You know, like, just generally it was decent. Treat people with a bit of humanity, you know, type stuff.
I like the treat people nice stuff, but I don't like the be magic and pray at me and my father.
Well, yeah.
I don't like that part.
No, I agree, but
you're going to hell even if you are a good guy.
But again, the message is a little better. It's better than the Old Testament.
But here's my thing. If you are condemning me to hell for not being with your father and believing in a different God,
right?
Then why the fuck are you worried about how I treat people? I'm already going to hell anyway because I'm not worried about your father.
Yeah, this is nuanced until you, like, this is obviously only for people who believe in Yahweh, because, like, right. Otherwise you're fucked right out the gate.
Yeah.
Because you went through the wide gate. Yeah,
yeah, you're fucked right out the wide gate.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was Matthew chapter 7.
Little Maddie chapter 7 finished his little speech on the mountain hill.
I think we're actually going to try to do for our next episode a
Q&A Saturday. And it will probably be on Saturday.
Yeah.
And it'll cover chapters 5, 6, and 7, the whole mountain gate-wide sermon.
Yeah. Yeah. So look out for that one. And we'll see you next time.
Yeah.
Bye.
Hey, wife, I guess that's the end.
Facebook husband. That's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.